Vom citi versetele 1 la 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. The whole command that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give you to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God had led you this 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Amen. You may take your seat. Sooner or later, each one of us will face the wilderness, a desert in our life. A time of intense temptations, trials, testing that you will have to face. None of us like or enjoy the wilderness. Those tough times that we go through a lot of times. The tri-season in our lives. The sickness, the issues, the problems that arises in our families and in our lives. The wilderness is not Canaan where milk and honey is flowing all around us. No. It's hot, it's dry, no food, your skin must be covered in order not to get burned. Not easy to walk, rocks, snakes, bugs, and so on. More like Africa, brother was explaining how things are over there. But I'm talking a spiritual desert. Before we experience Canaan, we will experience and face the wilderness, each one of us. As people of Israel started exiting Egypt, facing to go into Canaan, they went through the desert. As soon as Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted, the Word of God says. And so many times in our lives, we realize that, you know, you got baptized where everything was joyful and happy. And you were so pumped up and you were so happy, spiritually speaking. You had a song, you had a declaration, you were so excited. But then there was a season where you face wilderness, where you face the dry season in your life. And you wonder, why is this happening to me? Why? 600 men came out of Egypt, entered into the wilderness, but only 2 men entered into the promised land, into Canaan. And we'll find out why. We can relate so much to this people of Israel, the journey through the desert, as our journey through life so many times, and their aim to Canaan, and our aim to our heavenly place. To inherit an earthly place following with milk and honey, something temporary they were after. Our aim is to inherit the heavenly place, our permanent state. Why do we have to face the wilderness is the big question. Why? Let's find out together this evening. Because maybe you are thinking, what do you mean facing the wilderness? Why can I just get into Canaan and get rid of the wilderness? And somebody says you can if God decides to just take you home right away. Why did Jesus have to be tempted to face the desert? The book of Hebrews says it so well, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiations for the sins of people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted. He's able to aid those who are tempted. When you will face temptation, you will relate to your struggles. When you face a wilderness, he will help you stay strong, trusting in his power and provision to withstand and overcome whatever you're going through. Deuteronomy 8:2, the word of God says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness this 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. So God's intention was to test the people of Israel to see where their hearts are. And so many times, and you know, I hear people, why does he have to test us? Because he wants to see where our heart is. He's testing us because he wants to see if we're going to keep his commandments, if we're going to be faithful to him, because it's very important. In the wilderness, God's aim is not to satisfy your wants, but your spiritual needs. In the wilderness, God will strip you of you to empower you with him. And it's very important to know this. In the wilderness, God does not make stars, VIPs. He shapes our characters. In the wilderness, God is dealing with your attitude, habit, or complaining to eliminate and remove the spiritual sickness that's within you. And if we don't admit what your issues are in the wilderness, you won't be able to recognize what your strengths are in the promised land. So this evening, I entitled my message, When Facing the Wilderness. And I'm going to try to be short, but straight to the point. When facing the wilderness, it's not a matter of if, but when. We all are going to face the wilderness sooner or later. But when we face the wilderness, there's some lessons to be learned from the people of Israel, and they are valid for us today. First thing that I want to talk about when facing the wilderness, we must develop a conqueror's dialect. Every single time we face problems in our lives, we start questioning God, why God? And God is trying to teach us a lesson. You are going through the wilderness because I'm trying to get something out of you. I'm trying to get Egypt out of you. I want to teach you a valuable lesson. I want to strip you of who you are. I want to just empower you with me, with my presence, with the experience that I'm giving you so you can make it. In the desert, the people of Israel ran out of provisions. It got to the point where they remember Egypt, the good old days. And so many times we remembered, you know, the good old days, we say. When they were slaves, but they did not have to worry about food. They had food. We were slaves, but we had food. Pain will always make you remember the past. The wilderness will over-exaggerate your pain and make you undervalue your blessings. Complaining in the freedom, complaining in slavery. People of Israel, we see they were complaining all the time. Complaining all the time. Complaining is what keeps people behind. The more we complain, the less we advance. And we see this every single day. Instead of being one of those people and saying, God, I know you're with me. I know you're passing me through the desert. But I know that you're with me and I trust in you. We start complaining and we start arguing with God. When we get saved, trust God for his salvation, forgiveness of sins. And when we face the wilderness, we complain, just like the people of Israel. If God provided the means to save you, he will also provide the means to get you through the wilderness that you're facing today. God is faithful. God is always faithful. God getting us out of Egypt is not enough. As I mentioned earlier, in the wilderness, he wants to get Egypt out of us. And that's what God is trying to do. He's reshaping our attitudes. He's reshaping everything about who we are not why you allow this, God, but God, what do you want to teach me through this is the question that we should ask ourselves whenever we face the wilderness. Not God, why are you allowing this in my life? Why am I going through this sickness? Why am I going through this financial difficulty? Why am I facing this trouble in my family? You should say, God, what are you trying to teach me through all of this? It's the right thing to say. Because if we believe that God is in control, God is in control of every situation in our life. Amen? God did not bring us into his kingdom and just leave us alone by ourselves. No, God brought us into the kingdom and is maturing us, is shaping us to be more like him. And blessed are we if we understand what God is trying to do in this walk through the wilderness. Our habits of complaining, we complain all the time. Not what am I going to do now, but I trust that you will make a way and you are the provider. You are all that I need. When did we say that last time? We say, Lord, you are all that I need. And I'm not going to complain about anything. It doesn't matter what I'm facing today. I know you are in control. How many people believe that God is in control? God is in control of every situation in our life. So why should we argue with him? He is capable to get us through. He's capable to give us victory. But apparently, we have to go through the wilderness. In the wilderness, God provides you with him. Very important. It's just you and him. He provides you with him. He wants to deal with you one-on-one. Why? Because what's coming next in your life will be based on a matter of trust and faith in him. He wants to build that in you. He wants to build this character. He wants to build this attitude of trusting and believing in Jesus alone. When I don't feel good anymore, when I pray and I don't feel anything, God wants to build something in us, is trust and believe in him alone, that he will get us through and he is with us. In the wilderness, God wants to replace your feeling good relationship with trusting God relationship. And when we come out of the wilderness, we will know that God was with us. And we can all say, God, I trust you. Whenever something else comes, I remember of the things of the wilderness that I passed a few years ago. And I remember that he was faithful. And he has given me the strength so I could overcome whatever comes my way. Because he is faithful. Maybe you're facing lack of money. Maybe you're facing lack of health. He will teach you to live by faith. He is your provider. He will bring you the necessary provisions that you need. Problems in your family, he can heal and restore relationships. I talk to so many people and they say, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm going to get divorced because my husband did this on me, cheated on me, and so on and so forth. And I'm going to pray that God will give me a better one. I pray for the one you have, that God can do the impossible. God can change things and circumstances in our lives. God can bring healing and restore things. But now there's a dry season in our lives. And God is saying, hang in there. I know what I'm doing. I'm shaping your character. I'm shaping my image, my son's image into you. And this has a purpose because I want to make something great out of you. In the wilderness, it's just you and God. You have his full attention. And he wants to have yours as well. Does God have our full attention when we face the wilderness? When we go through tough times, nobody can talk to us anymore. We're broken. We feel like we're destroyed. We feel there's nothing left in there. And nobody can talk to us. And we have no desire to pray. That's when God wants to get your attention. It's just you and him because he wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you that he wants to do something marvelous in your life. But we don't understand because we're so broken people. And if we understand to live by faith and trust in God, then this is a great lesson for us. And God is saying, I allowed you to face the wilderness for 40 years to test you, to test the desire of your heart. And so many times God wants to test the desire of our hearts, and we don't know it. We think that God is upset on us. We think that God is against us. We think that God is doing something bad. No, he's not. He wants to do something good in us. How many of us are ready to understand it, to say, Lord, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to change the way I speak. I'm going to change, Lord Jesus, and I'm going to have no attitude of complaining, but I'm going to develop a dialect of a conqueror, somebody that's just going to look at it as a victory that's coming ahead of me, and I'm going to trust you for it. Lord, help us with that. When going through the wilderness, the second thing is God's plan never seems to align with ours. How many of us can confess to this? So many times when we face difficulties, we try and we think we're going to do this and things are going to succeed. And God says, I have a different plan for you. All we got to do is say, Lord, I trust you. I have no plan. My plan, it has to be your plan. Our plan never seems to align with his. Once Israel got out of Egypt, they thought that everything will now be easy. I'm no longer a slave. I don't have to report to my old master. I no longer have to confront oppositions. I can do whatever I want. We should be in the promised land in no time. But that was not the case. Did they not realize that something is getting to the promised land takes time? And so many times we face the same problem. God may want them to learn some important and valuable lessons along the way by trusting God, fight the enemies on their way to the promised land. And so many times God says, no, you have to face the wilderness because I want you to fight the enemy. And I want you to overcome the temptations that you're going through. I want you to overcome the lack of prayer that's in your life. I want you to overcome the situation that you're dealing with and you don't know how to deal with it. I want you to learn. This is why you're going through the wilderness. It doesn't align with our plan because we say, oh, God says come with everything to him and he will give you blessings. Not so many times. Why? Because for our benefit. Because God wants to build something in us that's going to last. God wants to construct something in us. God wants to put something in us that's going to get us to the promised land. It's going to make us strong doers, people that are going to stand for God, trusting God. And no matter what comes our way, we're going to be victorious through the one that's going to carry us through the wilderness. Who believe that God's plan and timing is always the best? I can confess that that's the best time. I thought, God, if you would have come yesterday, this wouldn't have happened. And says, you have no idea what I'm doing. Just hang in there. And all we got to do is trust him. Who believe that trusting him is the best thing to do? I believe so. That's what God is trying to teach us. That's what God is trying to teach us in the wilderness. God's timing and plan is always best for me. God did not bring me into the wilderness to destroy me, but humble me to rely on him and him alone. That he might make you know that man should not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. In the wilderness, you can be proud. Can you? In the wilderness, none of us can be proud because you can't prove anything to anyone. It's just you and God. In the wilderness, you can't be arrogant because what is that going to do? How is that going to impact anybody? In the wilderness, you can't gossip because you got nobody to gossip with. But see, God is bringing you into the wilderness because he's trying to teach you some valuable lessons. He says, I want you in the wilderness now where you're in. I want you to get rid of all this. Gossip has got to go. It's got to come out of you. Being proud has got to come out of you. being arrogant doesn't have room in the plan that I have for your life. So God wants to just strip us of all of this in the wilderness because he has great plans for our lives. And we don't understand so many times. We have no idea what he's doing. And we think he's just there to destroy us. But God has a different plan. In the wilderness, God will equip you with enough experience to be able to be used for God's glory. And we're not going to boast in ourselves after we go through the wilderness. Because what God had built in us, what God has done to us, it's all going to be for his glory. None for us, because the proudful attitude is gone. The arrogant attitude is gone, because he wanted to strip us out of it. The gossip is gone. When somebody start talking to you about gossiping, about it, you just start leaving. Brother, I got to go. You no longer, it's not in you anymore, because God stripped you out of it. Get stripped that out of you. So that's what God is doing. The challenge is this. You can also determine the time, how long you're going to be staying in the wilderness. Why did Jesus only stay 40 days in the wilderness? Because he won. Satan had to leave defeated. He threw in the towel. He punched me back with God's word, Satan would have said. He stands by it. He lives by it. How many years did the people of Israel linger in the desert, in the wilderness? 40 years. Did they make it? Why? How many made it too? How? By putting their trust not in man, not in giants, but learning to trust God. There were two people that said, you know what? God is with us and we're going to overcome these people. The other one said, no, they're too giant. They're too big. We can't do anything. But these two people had trust in God and have faith in God that they will make it through. God will be with them. You determine the time. Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness because he defeated Satan by saying, it is written. Don't complain. Don't start fighting with God when you're going through the wilderness. But you say, it is written, Lord, I trust in you and you alone. You are with me. And God will give you the victory. The third point I'm going to close with is God doesn't keep us in the wilderness forever. 40 years was a long time to be in the wilderness. Children that were now 50 to 60 years of age, the time and plan may not align with ours. He does not keep us in the wilderness forever. Whatever the wilderness you're going through right now, let me tell you, God is not going to keep you there forever. God is testing you. God is testing your heart to see where it is. God wants to take everything that's not right with him out of you. God wants to embed him into you. And he wants to give you victory to what's coming. Whatever you're facing today, whatever your struggle is today, whatever you may seem like it's eternity, it is not forever. Whatever you face, God is with you. God will get you through it. The most beautiful experience that takes place once you come out of the wilderness is this: you will never be the same because God had put his hand on you. But Lord, help us to remain faithful to you. In the wilderness, I need to shut my mouth. I need my dialect to change. I no longer start complaining. I no longer want to complain and ask God why. But say, Lord, I praise you because you're going to do something beautiful through this trial that I'm going through. Through this financial situation that I'm facing, through this sickness, through this disease, through this situation that my family is facing, because my kids are probably far away from you, and it seems like I cannot reach them. Lord, I trust you that you will bring them back. That's a conqueror's attitude, dialect. That's somebody that puts their trust in God that says, you know what, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to listen to the voices around me. I'm not going to listen to the temptation that Satan is going to bring around me. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. We all facing tough times. The lessons, the guidance you receive in the wilderness will shape you, your character, your attitude, your trust, and your personal experience. No one can take that away from you. It will engrave into your mind and your heart forever. It will remain there, knowing that God was with you and he got you through it. In order to exit the wilderness, you must leave the following in the wilderness: old attitudes, old habits, your complaining habits, your pride, your arrogance, your self-centered ego, feeling good relationship. You're no longer going to come in church and say, oh, the worship was not that great. I didn't feel too good. I didn't feel God's presence. Baloney. You come in church and you feel good because God is here. And you feel good because you know that he's your personal Lord and Savior. And you owe it all to him. You got to give it all to him. I feel good because I know he's my father. He was with me and he shaped me to see things different. And now I have a trusting relationship with my father. The question we should ask ourselves is this: what have I learned through this experience, through the wilderness? Why am I into the wilderness? What is the main reason why I'm in the wilderness? Just to recap, when facing the wilderness, you must develop a conqueror's dialect. You will learn the lesson the quicker by giving God your full attention, submit to him. Whatever he does it well. Can we relate to that, even when we go through sickness? When we go through difficult times, can we say, God, you do everything well. But I don't see any hope in the situation that I'm in. I see nothing good coming out of it. To say this, God, you do everything well. Can we say that? He does everything well because it's for our own good. God's plan never seems to align with ours. You can also determine the time. God doesn't keep us in the wilderness forever. When you come out of the wilderness, you will never be the same. Lord, help us whenever we face the wilderness. Whatever the wilderness that I'm going through right now, let us all stand. You say to the Lord in this prayer, Lord Jesus, I didn't understand what lessons you want to teach me going through the wilderness, going through the tough times that I'm facing today. I didn't understand why financially I am broken. I don't know why everything I do doesn't seem to work. I don't know why sickness is hitting my household like nobody's business. I don't understand why things just don't go well. I can't close any deals. I can't do anything. And God is saying, you're going through the wilderness. I am with you. Trust me. I want to build something in you that's going to be great and marvelous. You will come out of it if you trust me. If you change the way you think, if you change the way you talk, if you just let me be in control. And I will guarantee that you will become victorious. You will have victory because I am with you. Let us pray tonight. Haideți să venim în această rugăciune să-i spunem, Doamne, avem nevoie de tine. Nu înțeleg de atâtea ori de ce ai lăsat și ai îngăduit, Doamne Iisuse, probleme, situații în viața mea, dar, Doamne, Tu vrei să-mi formez caracterul meu și să mă formez să fiu mai plăcut ție, Doamne. Doamne, îți mulțumesc pentru că faci lucrul acesta. Pentru că Dumnezeu te lasă să treci prin acest deșert. Dumnezeu te iubește și nu vrea să te lase în situația să fii un complainer. Să fii un om care dai din gură tot timpul. Să fii unul care nu vezi pe nimeni bun în biserică. Să fii unul care totdeauna ai ceva de zis rău. Și să spui, Doamne, vreau de astăzi înainte să mă fac bun, Doamne, să te aleg, să rămân în ascultare de tine. Și mă rog ca în această rugăciune să-i spunem Domnului tot ce este în viața noastră. Dacă este mândrie, dacă este înălțare, dacă este cine știe ce mai este în viața noastră. Că atâtea avem de nu mai știm cum să le numerăm. Haideți să ne smerim înaintea Domnului și să ne pocăim și să-i spunem, Doamne, vreau să mă pocăiesc și să fiu, Doamne Iisuse, eliminat de tot ce este de eu-ul meu și să te iau pe tine, să mă încred în tine și Tu, Doamne Iisuse, să-mi dai biruința de care este nevoie. Fă de mine ce vrei Tu, numai du-mă în Canaanul ceresc. Amin. Ne rugăm cu toții.